For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Jump down with me, if you would, please, to verse number 18. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but goeth into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you this morning and we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, I love the Bible, Lord. I like the way you just don't waste a bunch of time getting right to the issue. I like how you call it what it is, and I'm thankful for this book. I'm glad it doesn't beat around the bush and sugarcoat the issue and try to make it present well. And you know, Lord, you just don't ever seem to really worry too much about what people are thinking. You just lay it out there and let them take it or leave it. And I love that about your Word. Father, this morning I want to have a heart that will take the Word of God. I want to have a heart, Father, that is open to what you have to say. And I pray that this morning you'd give the people sitting here the same heart. I ask you for a spirit of liberty in our church. Lord, we don't want that tense spirit. I want the folks just to relax, Lord, and to enjoy being in the house of God, to enjoy the presence of the Lord. I pray that we would experience the presence of the Holy Spirit of God among us this morning. And Father, we pray also that if there's anybody here that's not sure where they're going when they die, they don't know from the Bible where they're going, I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't leave in the same condition, but that they'd find out before they go. Father, I pray that your Word would find fertile soil. I want to be a preacher of the Word of God. Lord, I got a lot of opinions about a lot of things. And I'm pretty sure I'm right about most of what I think. But Lord, I also know that most of the time I'm wrong. And my opinions don't really matter. And Lord, your Word is truth, and I know that. And so I pray this morning you'd help me to give the people of God the truth of God, that they might be bettered and helped and strengthened. I want to keep my opinions to myself. And Lord, I want to preach your Word this morning. I know you're right. And I thank you for giving me a book to preach. Make me an able minister of Jesus Christ this morning by the filling of your Holy Spirit. And through the Word of God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here in chapter number 7, the key verse that I picked up was verse number 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Let me just say before we get into the message, the Lord wants every single person in this room to hearken unto what He's going to say and to understand what He's going to say. You see, it's God's will for everybody this morning to get a message. There's not a person in this room that's got the exact life as anybody else in this room, right? I mean, you can't replicate one person's life in the same person next to them. Even if you put them in the same circumstances, the same situations, different personalities react differently to the same circumstances. Isn't that the truth? You've seen some people that get better, bitter over things. Other people seem to get better over things and the same circumstances. So therefore, we're all individuals. That's the point I'm getting at. And I'm preaching one passage of Scripture that is really black and white. You're not going to get my interpretation of the Bible this morning. You're going to get what God said because it's right there for me to preach. However, God will take this message and divvy it up to every individual how they need it. Amen. That's just the power of God and the way the Holy Spirit of God works. But the problem is, some will sit here this morning and hear the message and say, that makes sense. I got some help from that. I realize what I need to change. I realize what I'm doing right. I want to grow. I got some blessing. I'm closer to the Lord. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever the result is. Others will sit there and say, you know what? I didn't get anything out of that. You know what? I don't think that was a very good message. You know, he wasn't very entertaining this morning. You know what the difference is between somebody that gets some help and somebody that doesn't? The difference is found in verse 14. He says, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. This morning, do you have a desire to hear what God has to say? Will you hearken to the Word of God? The problem is too many people mistake the preacher for the Word of God. They'll look at me and say, I don't like him. He's too short. He's too young. I've even, funny enough, ran into one or two situations now where they say I'm too old. That obviously is coming from some very young people. He's too old. He's too young. He's too short. He's too fat. He's too skinny. He's too rough. He's not manly enough. He's too direct. I don't like it when he pounds on the pulpit. He just stood there too much. I like it when he moves. You know what the problem with that is? The problem is you're not listening to what God says, what the Bible says, and you're not hearkening to the words of God. Don't mistake the man for the message or the message for the man. People all the time start coming to church, right? And they will come initially because they like the preacher or the preaching or the personality of the church. And some of that is understandable and okay. God told us to love one another, right? If I don't like the preacher, I just don't like him, then okay, I don't like him. Right? I mean, that's okay. I'm not in a personality context. I'm not a politician. So if you don't like me, you don't like me. I mean, I probably won't lose any sleep about it. A whole bunch of you don't like me. That might cause me to lose some sleep. But if one or two of you don't like me, it's okay, right? Most of the time, though, people like you. They know you're trying to help them if you're not being an idiot. So you know what happens with time is that church begins to develop a love for their pastor. Amen. I really think that's happening. And he starts to love the people. But you know what can happen before long? They start loving the pastor more than they really love the truth. And I've seen it happen, and so have you. You ever check out what a definition of a cult is? You ever see how much the people are devoted to and loyal to and love the man that's leading the cult? Now, I'm not trying to tell you don't love me. Don't get me wrong. I'll shoot myself in the foot here. But your devotion and your love ought to be more to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God and to the words that are being preached than to the man that's preaching them. Hearken unto what? Jesus said, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. My job this morning is to try to help you hearken to the Lord Jesus Christ. My job also is to help you understand the words of God according to the Bible definition of a pastor and the job description God gave me. That's what I'm to do. So I'm going to do everything within my power this morning to spell out this passage of Scripture and to apply it as the passage applies it. But I'm going to ask you to please be honest with yourself, be honest with God, hearken to what the Word of God says, and understand what is being said. Let me just cut through a little bit real quick, all right, before I jump into my first point. People all the time say stupid and silly things like, I just can't understand the Bible. I just didn't understand what he meant. I do get it that there are some things in the Bible that may be difficult to understand, of course. But you know what they're usually saying when they say that? Is they're saying, I don't want to read my Bible. I think it's boring. I don't want to go to church. I think it's boring. Therefore, I hide behind the excuse, I can't understand the these and the thous. Are you with me? I'm not talking, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. I get it, some things you read and you don't understand. I understand that, that's what church is for. But I'm talking about the excuse of hiding behind, I don't get the these and the thous. I think it would be entirely funny one day to have a situation like that in church. Just say, you know, have a bunch of people sitting up front and say, do you understand the these and the thous in the King James? No, I don't. Okay, you sit up front. Do you understand? Okay, you sit up front. And just to play a trick on them, to have a masked man come running into the auditorium with an empty gun, relax, with an empty gun, grab him by the throat, slam him on the ground, say, you better tell me what D means right now or I'm pulling the trigger. Doesn't that seem funny to you? Think about it for a second. You'll laugh. Yeah, they'll spit it out real quick, won't they? What does thou mean? I got it figured. In other words, it's not that hard to understand. Some people just don't want to hear it. Amen. Now notice, a dirty heart. That's what we're preaching on this morning. A dirty heart is a heart that won't listen to God. But I'm not even getting into morality, am I? Not getting into watching dirty movies, am I? Or looking at dirty magazines. A dirty heart is a heart that won't listen to God. Notice in the verse number 2. And when he saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they did what? they found fault. You know what a dirty heart does? A dirty heart always seems to find fault. You ever met somebody that just constantly can pick everybody and everything apart everywhere they go? They're always finding fault. Every boss they have is an idiot that doesn't know what he's doing. But they, even though they've never been in his position, of course, they know how he should be doing his job. It's just a dirty heart that's constantly finding fault everywhere they go. You ever run into people that every church they go to, there's always a list of problems that's wrong with that church? Usually that person has never really been deeply involved in any church anywhere. They've never understood the background and how the thing works and how it's structured and what it's like to work with an entirely volunteer staff. Running a budget not based on, you know, profit and loss charts, based on, I hope people find in their heart to give. But they can come in and criticize everything there is about a church, but they know nothing about church. You ever see a marriage where all the spouses do is constantly find fault with each other? They're just always picking at each other. It's like, okay, so tell me about your husband. And all you hear from that individual is every fault and problem their spouse has. And you say, well, can you say a couple of good things? Well, I guess. Always finding fault. Talking about, well, my old lady, she just out. What about some good, can you say some good things about her? You know what the problem is? A dirty heart always finds fault with everything everywhere. You know, I've really kind of just gotten over it. And thank God we got a good spirit in this church and it doesn't happen much. But there was a time period here where people were coming and visiting and would keep coming visiting for 6 months. And it was just like every service I was on the I was on the stand there getting graded. Go somewhere else and drive some other preacher crazy. I got four daughters and they're doing a great job of bringing the gray hairs into my head. I don't need that. Amen. You know what the problem is? The problem is not everything around you. The problem is your heart. And some of us just got a critical spirit. I'm that guy. I can find fault in everything. I'll pull in and everything looks just perfectly great. And I'll see one area that somebody forgot to trim with the weed whip, you know? It's like, man, look at all the hours that went into getting this place looking pristine. And you notice the one thing. You know what that is? It's a dirty heart. A dirty heart finds fault. These guys are finding fault with Jesus Christ. But you'll notice how they find fault. Look at verse number 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to what? The tradition of the elders. You know what they're finding fault with? They're finding fault with the fact that they don't do it the way we do it. They don't do it the way, you know, our expectations say they should do it. So they pick at others because others don't do things exactly the way you do them. But God never told us that we're to judge one another based on what we think they ought to be doing, did he? Look at Galatians chapter number 1. I'm going to show you a couple of things about tradition. We're going to look at about three different verses here. Galatians chapter number 1. Please keep a mark in Mark, and we'll be back there in a minute. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 14. Here we're talking about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is kind of given his credentials. And he says this about himself, and profited in the Jews' religion, above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of what? The traditions of my fathers. You know what the Apostle Paul was? He was very zealous for his religious traditions. And what was he doing during that time period in his life? He was persecuting the church of God. He was going after true believers and hauling them off into jail. And many of them were being committed to prison and many tortured and killed under Paul's authority. There he was going around destroying the bride of Jesus Christ, tearing apart the people that believed in Jesus Christ based on his religious traditions. Traditions are not what you and I are to judge things on. You know what traditions will do? They will damn your soul to hell while you think you're pleasing God. That's what they'll do. I've met many people, you show them the truth of salvation and what the Bible says, and you can even show them where the Bible directly goes against the traditions they've been taught and practiced. And they go, wow, yeah, I guess I always felt like something was wrong with that. I never really, yeah, you know, I just always felt weird when I was in that church. I always felt weird when I was doing the whole sit, stand, kneel or whatever the thing is, you know, all the traditions and the rituals. That never felt right to me. And now I see why. And you say, great, will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Will you get your sins taken care of? Since you see what the Bible says about salvation, will you do that? Well, my family. Well, my friends. What's this going to do with my standing in the Catholic Church? Who cares about your standing in the Catholic Church? It's time to grow up and think about your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That Pope you got right now, man. You realize that? Do you see some of the things he's saying? If people never before could see the problem, and I'm not here to pick on the Catholics. I don't hate Catholics. Did you hear me? See, he just hates Catholics. I don't hate Catholics. My grandparents were Catholics on both sides. Irish Catholics on one side, Italian Catholics on the other. Amen. They love the Eucharist, all the wine they could get. Hallelujah. My dad was raised an altar boy. All right? So I don't hate Catholics. But I hate doctrines that'll damn souls to hell while they think they're getting somewhere to fleece them for their money. Just calling a spade a spade. That Pope you got now, he ain't your Pope. I say that to my wife all the time. Those kids of yours, she's acting just like you, dear. They're all female. They're yours. Amen. Listen, the Pope, you know what he said about Islam? He said our two religions aren't that far apart anyhow. We basically believe the same things. Ain't that scary? You ever study what the Bible says about a one-world religion? You know who the truly wicked people are? As much as you might not like Barack Obama, imagine most of you are conservatives. You know who the truly wicked people are? It's the religious leaders. They're the ones that are truly wicked, and they're the ones that are truly powerful. See how many people are already turning against Barack Obama, even his own party? That ain't much power. But when you can take an entire continent and move that continent, when you can take armies and move armies, now that's power. And that's what the religious leaders do. And it's all about their traditions. Tradition ain't going to save you if tradition violates the words of God. Paul was very zealous of his traditions, but he wasn't saved. Another thing about traditions, look at Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, keep going to your right. Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Now here we're going to get the razor a little closer to the skin. Because most of you in here this morning aren't trusting your traditions to save you. You're trusting Jesus Christ according to what the Bible says, right? Amen. There's a little bit of a rebellious spirit about people that'll say Bible only, isn't there? Isn't there? Oh, you brainwashed Christians, really? You just run with the masses to follow the traditions, and we're willing to go against the flow because we found it in the Word of God. A little rebellious spirit about that, isn't there? And you know what we do? The same thing without realizing it in a different way. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 8. He says, beware, now he's speaking to a church, a saved bunch of people. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And by the way, I can't start chasing rabbits and preaching every little word out of these things, or we'll be here all day, and I'm not going to do that to you. There's cake and coffee downstairs. Amen? Amen. But philosophy. You know what? That's the problem with Bible colleges. And I've been to three. Like, enrolled in three. So I know whereof I speak. In different camps. That's the problem with them. Too much philosophy and not enough Bible. And vain deceit. Salesman, you know, tricky, just, you know, that slippery salesman preacher. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After what? The tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after who? Christ. You know what he's saying traditions will do? They'll go after men. After worldliness, without realizing it, Christian traditions become worldly. Can I tell you something about a good church? A good church doesn't get caught up in its traditions and start judging each other by its traditions, but by Christ. Now, I'm going to say something that could seem very counterproductive, but I'm going to go ahead with it because it's Bible and it's doctrine, and so far, this kind of teaching has never hurt this church. But the only thing that scares me is human nature, that's all. Just how people think. We got a lot of traditions. We just don't realize it. I've kicked a whole bunch of them myself to the curb. I was raised in that whole thing, a woman can't wear pants because that's a man's garment and all that kind of silly, stupid stuff. It's silly and stupid. Amen. All that kind of stuff, you know, where churches develop this personality where they get their own list of rules and regulations that aren't Bible. They get this, here's what we do at this church. This is what we do. And if you're going to be a part of this church, and if you're going to sing on the platform and work and be a part of this ministry, these are the things you have to do to be spiritual. And it's traditions that actually take on worldliness without realizing it. You know, people ask me all the time, well, kid, you know, I don't have a suit. Can I come in jeans? Yeah. No, we meet you at the door if you're wearing jeans. We're like, get in the car and leave. Why do they got that idea about church? You want to know why? Because so many churches are stuck on their traditions. You know what? That just doesn't matter to me. When you come Wednesday night, come. I tell people all the time, you got everything in our suit in our church on Sunday mornings, from jeans and polos to suits. How many times have you heard me preach about what you should wear to church? Now, please don't walk in here in a swimsuit. All right? Hello, common sense. I mean, there's a little bit of common sense that, you know, shouldn't need to be preached on. Amen. Amen. That's this contemporary movement that goes so far the other way. It's like, so cool. Church is just like going to the mall, man. I mean, you just like, wear whatever. Be, have a brain. All right? And please be modest. Really, the attention when you walk in here is not all on you and how you look. Okay? And don't come in here to show off your body. I just got to say that because you know how some people think. But it's not all about what you're dressed up in. I'm tired of the traditions. We do a Sunday night service here. How many times have you heard me hammer on you on Sunday morning about coming back Sunday night and Wednesday night? You know what I'm shocked at? I'm shocked at how much our Sunday night and Wednesday night attendance is growing. Praise the Lord. You know why you should come back Sunday night and Wednesday night? Because you got a heart that says, Lord, I just want more Bible. Not because it's our tradition. Not because if I don't show up, Pastor Mike's going to be running me down. And everybody's like, oh, where was Brother So-and-so? Oh, they're part of the Sunday morning only. Oh, it's you? Oh, you're supposed to sit over here in the Sunday morning section. We want you up close, you Sunday morning only attenders, so you can really get preached at. Because those of us who are more spiritual, we're more faithful to come to all the services. That is the wrong spirit. Do you understand that? It is not our tradition that matters. I want every one of you to come back tonight. I want every one of you here Wednesday night. But I want you here because you want to be here. Because you want to hear the preaching of the Word of God, because you're able to be here, and I don't want you to start, you know, quit coming Sunday morning because the tradition of this church is all about being there every time the doors are open. That's important to me. Should be, right? I don't think I get much. Let me just say, I really don't believe I get any rewards in heaven for being here. Me? I have to be here. I get a paycheck. Nobody else, but Brother Chad, gets a really small paycheck from us just to be a blessing to him. But he and I both get paid. Nobody else gets paid to be here. You know what? You get rewards in heaven. I believe that. But I think you only get rewards in heaven if you come here with the right heart. Not a dirty one. And a dirty heart is a heart that's all about its traditions. There are many things, folks, that God did not put in the Bible. A lot. And those things are between you and the Holy Ghost of God. They are not for me to get into your personal life and tell you what you should and shouldn't do and how you should and shouldn't do it and when and where and what and why. There's some things I don't do because I don't think God wants me to do them. But I don't have a Bible verse that says, thou shalt not. So therefore, I can't preach it with a pure conscience and force my conscience on your life. The things that are in the Word of God are non-negotiables. Fornication and adultery, a wicked and godless nation that we live in, and we'll get to it in a little bit, a wicked and a godless nation we live in says, you're not to judge me in my sin, leave me alone. That's not right either. I'm talking about judging people based on my tradition versus your tradition. Our tradition ought to be Christ. That's our tradition. Let me show you one more verse about traditions and we'll move on. Go to 2 Thessalonians, please. Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, to your right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this one's important if you've ever got mixed up in organized religion. If your head's ever been messed up by organized religion, this is an important one to grasp. Because most all religions will find a verse somewhere to give themselves the authority to do or say what they do or say, even though what they do or say is not Bible. Did you follow that? Are you good? Almost all religions will find a Bible verse to give themselves the authority to say what they say, even though what they say is not Bible. Okay? Name them. You list them. The Jehovah's Witnesses. The Watchtower Society, they got their own traditions that they print, that they put out, that correct their own scriptures. I love it when they knock on my door. I take their Bible out and I show them from the Bible that they changed and printed to suit their doctrine, where their Bible teaches opposite from their own doctrine because of the Watchtower Society printing the traditions of men. Same thing's true of the Roman Catholic Church, and just go down the line, and I already got after churches of our stripe, you know, the Baptist background. Which, by the way, I'll get to in a second. 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. There it is. There it is. It's how we've always done it, all the way back to Christ. That's what they all say. But they all don't do the same things, so how in the world can they all be right? They can't. Am I making sense this morning? All right, now watch. But hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Now, how were you taught them? What are the right traditions, whether by word or our epistle? You know where we get our traditions from? The word and the epistles that the apostles and prophets left with us. Not what they passed down from generation. Have you ever played that game? What is that game? Phone or whatever it is? Pass things down from generation to generation by whispering in somebody's ear. You're just begging for corruption. There's some good traditions, and we preach those. So let me ask you a question. Where am I wrong to not put Baptist on the sign of my church? Show me from the word of the epistle. John the Baptist was a baptizer. John the Baptist was in a different testament. The testament's not a fourth till the death of the testator. Christ died. And that's when the New Testament became a force. John the Baptist was baptizing a baptism of repentance to Israel. And folks, it's not there. It doesn't hold weight. It doesn't hold water. So if it's not in the Bible, it's not something we have to do. Praise the Lord. And I just like being around a place where there's a little bit of liberty. Amen. I'm so tired of religion. I'm so tired of the traditions of men. And I'm so tired of being judgmental. I was raised that way. I was raised around those kind of churches. I am tired of being judgmental. And I am tired of being judged. Amen. I don't like that feeling, that dirty feeling I get in my heart where I see somebody else and I start criticizing them and picking them apart and going after them. Hey, God said, the Bible says that's a dirty heart that always finds fault with everything. These people's hearts were so wicked, they were finding fault with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How's your heart this morning? You realize we're at a point now in our church where you can start finding some fault. Honeymoon's over. Been around long enough, enough work going on. Now, if people coming and joining up with us, where we can start picking at each other if we want. Start criticizing each other. Well, where were they? Oh, I'm sorry, they didn't stop and check with you. I forgot you paid all their bills and ran their life. Amen. We got to watch out for that. It's a dirty heart. Notice something else about a dirty heart. It can't hear or understand the words of God at all. He told us, we already saw verse 14. He says, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Look at verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Now, that's pretty simple. Nothing from without can defile me. So throw mud on me. You know, we used to, Brother Labadie actually was raised near a farm. And his family members, they'd have those big rubber boots on. They'd go in that cow thing. Whatever it is, I'm not a farm boy. I'm not a hunter or fisherman, but I'm certainly not a farm boy either. They go into that thing where all the cows were, and that stuff in there would be about that deep, right? And they grab them, and they slap them and hang on them and ski through there. Kind of cool. That's a cool farmer as far as I'm concerned. They say, hey, man, you want to go cow tipping? I'm like, what is cow tipping? They're like, yeah, you can really do it. I'm like, no, you can't do it. Yeah, you can. Really? I'm like, yeah, and I've seen them do it. Grab the horn and twist the head like that, and then the other guy comes running up and slams into him, and this thing falls over. Man, it's kind of cool. I don't know what that had to do with the message, but it was fun. Oh, defile a man. That stuff don't defile you. Get you dirty on the outside, but that don't make you unclean and defiled. does it? I used to come home from work in construction when I was doing the basement footings. Down there in those basement holes, man, they'd fill up with water. Sometimes we'd have to pump the water out just to get the forms in there to scrape the mud out to get ready to pour. I mean, just a mess, man. I mean, just an... And it'd be raining. It was never rain day. It was always, well, it's just dry drizzle. What kind of... What are you smoking, man? Dry drizzle? This is rain, bro. But we'd work all day in the rain. And that truck would pull up there and start shooting that concrete down and it'd be splat. I mean, I'd come home an absolute stinking mess. You know what that verse says? That doesn't defile me. Not defiled. It's not hard to understand, folks. It's not hard to understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. So you can go to Dunkin' Donuts and eat a donut if you want. It might be bad for your health, but you can do it. That doesn't make you unholy. You can eat pig. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, that'll be pretty bad for you, but you can eat it. It's not a sin. By the way, commanding to abstain from meats. Sound familiar? You can eat fish, pig, anything you want, anytime you want, any time of the year, morning, noon, or night. If you want to wake up in the middle of the night and make yourself a big fat slab of ham with some fish, knock yourself out. Go catch some Asian carp from the Lake Michigan. You can. It's not a sin. You might die early, but it's not a sin, right? Okay, well, that's the Bible. The Bible makes it clear that the law is dead. It's gone. If you're saved, you're not under the law. Praise the Lord for that. Now, it's obvious what he's saying, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile him. Let me ask you a question. What's your first thought when you slam your finger in the car door? Don't give me that junk. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, that was a blessing. It was the Lord's divine will for my life today. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. But no. You know what the first thing is? I go, did that thought just come out of my mouth? I hope not. You're the pastor. Yeah, I'm a sinner just like you, saved by grace. Amen. It's a sin. It's wicked. You know where it comes from? Heart. Folks, it's not that hard to understand. But the funny thing is, look at verse 16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Look at the Lord's response to the disciples. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, and it cannot defile him? The disciples didn't get it. I just wonder. I know when I was praying about this morning, because God help me, I just finished Leviticus. I'm sorry. I'm not being very spiritual this morning. I'm sorry. But I'm going through Leviticus. Do any of you feel my pain? Or are you looking at me like you're all self-righteous? And so, oh, praise the Lord, Leviticus is such a blessing. I love numbers. I can't wait. Right? Right? Being honest with you. I just finished Leviticus. And I've been exhausted. It's been like the busiest 3 weeks of our life. Just go, 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 go with all this driving and everything else. Up late, back up early. 4 kids and then a little, we were in an apartment in New York. It's just been crazy. And then we had this wild idea to go ahead and get the dog early, the Christmas present 2 months early. And wow, that makes it all even that much more exciting when the dog pukes in the car when you're 20 minutes from the house and you're already running an hour late and you got a 10-hour trip ahead of you, blah, blah, blah. So pretty tired lately. And it's during this time frame of my life that I'm reading through Leviticus. This morning I got on my face and I said, Lord, I'm getting ready to start Numbers. Help me to be excited about it. Because I know there's stuff in Numbers you can show me that I've never seen before. And I want to get something out of Numbers. I'm going to start Numbers tomorrow morning and I can't wait. You know what the problem with it is? The problem is not the Word of God. The problem is my heart. My heart's dirty. A dirty heart doesn't understand the words of God. Look at verse 19. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Don't you like how blunt the Lord is? He basically said, what you eat comes out and you flush it down the portable throne. Not trying to be disrespectful, but it's there in the text. It's okay. And God just likes to take us and humble us sometimes and show us how silly we are. It's not, folks, the only reason you and I sometimes don't understand the Word of God, you read your Bible in the morning and don't get anything out of it. You want to know why? Your heart is the problem. You know what my problem is? My heart. That's the problem. Look at the last thing. A dirty heart has no limits. Look at verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. The first thing you see is the sins of the flesh. Adultery. Where'd that come from?
Well, the way the women dress nowadays.
You lying dog. You lying dog. You ever notice how the Islamic nations dress their women up? You ever notice how those guys have to have two and three and four wives anyhow? It ain't the women's fault. Now, ladies, don't be prey to, you know, making it easier on them. Amen. Amen. But it ain't the woman's fault. You know what the problem is? The problem is the heart. That's the problem.
I just don't love her like I used to.
Yeah, it's because your heart's gotten wicked.
Well, she's changed.
I know, but your heart got wicked too. You guys are in a big mess. Between your wicked heart and her changing, you're in a big mess. Between his wicked heart and between your wicked heart and him changing, you're in a big mess. You know what the problem is? The root of the problem is it's the heart. You see, Jesus Christ goes through here, and instead of working like a modern-day psychologist or a modern-day doctor and trying to treat all of the symptoms, he doesn't give us a long list of how to conquer adultery, does he? He doesn't give us a long list of how to get over fornication. He doesn't go through, you know, psychological treatments to try to help a guy, you know, kick his addiction to pornography. He doesn't take all this time trying to rehabilitate him and put him through a program and set him in front of counselors and find out, oh, your dad ran your dog over when he was on the way to work and you were just only fooled. No wonder you're a mass murderer. You saw your doggy die when you were a little kid. Oh, poor you. Now we found the problem. He doesn't waste a bunch of time and a bunch of money treating all the symptoms of the issue. The adultery, the fornication, all these sins of the flesh, there's a root problem for those. There's one common denominator for all of them. It doesn't matter if your problem is alcohol or drugs or fornication or thievery or covetousness. It doesn't matter what the problem is. If you've got a problem with your flesh and sins of the flesh, there is one root cause for that. And the cause is a dirty heart. That's the problem. Nothing else to blame it on.
Me. I am my problem.
Now, I'm preaching right now. You understand that? If you come into my office and say, preacher, I have a problem with pornography or with drugs, I am not going to say, you dirty-hearted rascal, get out of my office! Okay? People sometimes like, oh, I don't want to say anything to him because I know how you are. You'd be shocked how I am in the office, and I'll pray for you and help you and read the Bible with you, all right? But right now I'm preaching. There's a difference. The problem with your sin is your heart. That's the issue. There's sins of the flesh. Boy, I'll tell you what, man, those sins of the flesh will rip your guts out, won't it? Can I tell you, sins of the flesh don't always have to be big moral sins? Well, I've never murdered anybody. I'm glad you haven't, but I'll tell you this much. There's people in this room that in the eyes of God are guilty of murdering somebody. I'll be honest with you. I am. I've never murdered anybody. I haven't, I swear. The perfect crime has not been perpetrated by Pastor Reagan. But I'm guilty of that sin because I've had some people I stink and hate.
Haven't you?
Somebody said, oh, I don't hate him, but oh my goodness, it's driving me crazy. Well, you don't hate him? No, I don't hate him, but oh my goodness, I can't stand. You don't hate him? No, I don't hate him, but man, I can't stand her. Are you sure you don't hate him? Yes, I'm sure I don't hate him, but you just don't understand. You know, the problem is you hate him. You know what that is? That's the same as killing him, man. You murdered him in your heart already. You want him out of your life. You want him out of the world you live in. You want him away from you. You don't want to see him. You don't want to speak to him. You've killed him in your heart. You can look, but you can't touch, you fornicator, you adulterer. Oh, I've never looked at a woman. If I know she's married, well, how many of you looked at that are married and you didn't know they were married? You adulterer. What's the problem? The heart. You see, the Bible tells us to judge righteous judgment. I already talked to you. I'm tired of the judgmental attitude, right? But a real church with real preaching, with a real book, with a real God tells us what we are to judge, and he lays it out for us. There it is. Simple enough, ain't it? A heart that wants to get it will get it. I'll never forget, and I don't even ask me, not one of you, don't ask me. I love you, but don't ask me. Don't say, was it mine? I will go to my grave by the grace of God, never telling. I will never forget, about 2 weeks after we got the flex, I looked out in the parking lot and I saw a child. The child would remain nameless, sexless, non-existent, throwing rocks off the side of my flex. It's been a couple of years now. I'm over it. I said, honey, will you please stop that? I almost broke my own cardinal rule and snatched up somebody else's child and spanked him. It's funny, isn't it? It is funny. But you know what it is? It's amazing how quick that heart can turn against somebody you love and care about and can even cause you, and it could have caused me to hurt a family that I care more about than 20 flexes. Could have caused me to do some damage. Because my heart is always so quick and prone to sin. Notice the last thing about this last point. A dirty heart having no limits. They're sins of the spirit. Look at verse 22. He talks about a deceit, wickedness, lasciviousness, an evil eye. You ever seen that? I see it from the pulpit sometimes, to be honest with you. You know what I know when I hit something and the spouse goes? Somebody all of a sudden needs to switch in the seat because they're back really uncomfortable, and then they're like, ah. I never think about the person that's being looked at. Usually the person that's being looked at's going, oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Oh, man, I do that, don't I? Oh, my goodness. And I feel like, yeah, I feel the same way. Same way I felt when I saw this. Same way I felt when I wrote this message. But the person that's looking around with that evil eye, I think, there's somebody that's not hearkening or understanding. They don't get it. There's a dirty heart. I've learned a long time ago not to gun for people from the pulpit. I'm pointing, but Jake, I'm not pointing at you, man. I'm just pointing. I've learned a long time ago not to gun for people from the pulpit. Because they don't get it anyhow. You could call their name and they'd be like, he was making an illustration of me as being the opposite of what he was saying. If the heart doesn't get it, it doesn't get it. So what good does it do me to gun for people? Somebody was telling the preacher about me and that's why he was preaching on, oh, it's not all about you. I probably wasn't even thinking of you. Didn't even realize you were the guy that they were talking about if I even remembered what they were saying. There's no point in any of that. Because if your heart ain't going to get it, it ain't going to get it. But if your heart wants to get it, it'll get it. If you want to understand, you'll understand. You see, there's sins of the spirit that come from a dirty heart. Evil thoughts. Look at verse 21. Evil thoughts. Oh, we all have those. Just wishing harm on somebody else. Just jealous of them because of their success. An evil thought heart. Evil thoughts. Wickedness. Deceit. Oh, come on, you know you're deceitful. Men can fight physically pretty good. Most of them used to be a few years ago. Men know how to fight. Women can get real deceitful. You don't smile at your husband like that. You're creeping me out, man. That, to me, is more dangerous than when a guy goes by and spits at me and cusses me out. I know what I'm dealing with. It's deceit. You know what it is? It's a wicked heart, man. Blasphemy. Pride. Ooh, that one hurts, doesn't it? There is not a person in this room that doesn't have a problem with pride. Not me. I'm very humble. Yeah, and you're proud of it, aren't you? Amen. Every one of us has a problem with our pride. You know what it comes from? A foolish and wicked heart and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now, why don't you try to stop sinning? How's that going to work for you? Don't you try to stop gossiping? You know what's funny to me is that the Lord didn't take the time to stop and address all of the individual issues and give a solution to each thing. Doesn't that strange? You don't have the power to stop. Fellas, there's some things you just developed a habit of over the years. You don't have the power to quit. Ladies, there are some habits, some thought processes, some spirit about you that you've developed over the years that you cannot control. You know what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews? It says to beware lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. Has somebody hurt you? Have you ever been hurt in the heart? Not backstabbed. That's stupid stuff that happens at work where you know, that's stupid stuff. You know, oh, he stabbed me in the back. Oh, so what? Should have shown him your back. Keep your back to the wall and it won't happen again. Amen. Right? I'm talking about the real thing when somebody stabs you in the heart. Ever that ever happened to you? You ever start getting bitter? Because it wasn't your fault and you weren't in control of it? And you were a victim of somebody else? You can't control that. You know what will happen to your heart? It'll get rotten. And everything that comes out of you will be nothing but sin, even when you're trying to do right. Let's look at the solution, Mark chapter 12, and we're done. Look at verse 29. Mark 12:29. See, this morning I'm here to give you hope, not a big list of what you need to start doing and not doing and stop doing and how you need to join our church and be a part of our religion. I'm giving you some real hope from God, from His Word. Christian, I'm here to draw you closer to your Savior. Look at verse 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Christian, you know what the answer to all of your spiritual struggles, emotional struggles, mental struggles, physical struggles, the answer to all your problems, your marriage problems, the answer to all of it, is to start loving God like you ought to love Him. Everything else will rehabilitate itself. A dirty heart doesn't love the Lord, it loves itself. Once you learn to love the Lord like you ought to love the Lord, He enables you to love your neighbor as yourself. Because it's not in me to get up and get my wife a cup of coffee. It's in me to expect her to bring me one. It's not in me to pour something for my kids. It's in me to tell them to go get something for Daddy. You know why? I love me. But if I learn to love Him, I can start loving others. If you're saved, that's the answer. A clean heart comes from loving Jesus Christ, not fighting your sin all the time. Love Him. When you love Him, you'll get over the sin. But if you're not saved this morning, you can't possibly love Him until you know Him personally. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you cannot love Him. No matter how much you say you love God, you don't even know God until you know His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As Brother Rob comes and Miss Barbara comes, I want to ask you a couple questions and then give you an opportunity to respond. First of all, if everybody's heads would be bowed and eyes would be closed, Christian, would you, just between me and God and you, the Lord spoke to your heart this morning and said, "Preacher, I realize I need to give my heart more to Christ. Lord spoke to me. Lord dealt with me." Let me see your hands. I see one already. There's actually hands all over the room. Thank you for your honesty. I'll pray for you. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to respond. Don't use any excuses like, you know, "Well, I already prayed while you were talking. My head was bowed." If God spoke to your heart, then why don't you respond? Why don't you get down here this morning and say, "Lord, I'm just giving my heart fresh to you. You know what my issues are. You know what my problems are. I need you to help me. Lord, I'm hurt. Lord, whatever the issue is, Lord, I need your help." Why don't you, before you leave here today, get down here to this altar and just say, "Lord, I want to walk out of here loving you more like I should." I'm going to ask another question. And I don't know if there's anybody here this morning who, if you'd be honest with me and honest with God, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pressure you. I'm not going to call you out. I am going to give you an opportunity to respond if you want to. But if you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I do not know for sure if I died today whether or not I'd go to heaven. I can't be sure of that, but I'm interested. I'm thinking about it. Will you pray for me?" Would you just slip up your hand? Is there anybody here like that? Not sure whether or not you'd go to heaven if you died today. Anybody at all? There's one. There's two hands. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you for your honesty. I'm going to pray for you.
And I'm going to give you an opportunity here when I pray in just a minute and everybody stands up. And those of you who are saved, you step out, respond to the Lord as the Lord leads you. If you're not saved and you would like to go in my office with Pastor Chad or one of these other men and take a look from the Bible what it means to be saved, then we'd love to show you before you leave here today. They're not going to pressure you, like I said, but they're going to show you from the Bible what it means to be saved and then give you an opportunity. If you want to do something about it, great. If you don't, you can leave here just like you came, and that's your business. But we'd love to show you what it means to be saved. Father, we ask you to bless the invitation now. Give those who you're working on an opportunity now to respond. Give them the boldness to step out. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet if you want.